Good morning, Brian of London here, not driving, and this will be obviously one of my regular podcasts as well as a video that's going to go on 3Speak, and I'm addressing the debate which I was pulled into actually at the last minute and wasn't even sure I was going to take part in with Mark Collette in the UK. Mark Collette is a former publicity person at the British National Party. He claims that he had a lot to do with getting Nick Griffin elected to the EU Parliament and to various other electoral successes of the BNP. And the BNP, for those who don't know, is the British National Party. An avowedly racist political party in the UK. I mean, they make no bones about it. They've been for white supremacy. And as far as I know, Mark Collette is not directly associated with them now, but to be honest, I don't really care too much. They are for creating a white Britain. They don't like brown. They don't like black. They don't like anything but white. They want to go back to a time when Britain was white. And Mark, in particular, leads he has a very loyal, dedicated following of what I would say are neo-Nazis. And I mean that in exactly what it should be. This is not just something I throw around, because I actually know the difference between right-wing, left-centre, alt-right, and neo-Nazis. When I say neo-Nazis about Mark Collette's followers, and possibly himself, is that he actually admires, and his followers certainly admire, many of the things that the Nazis did. I find this paradoxical in a Brit, because, you know, Britain expended a lot of blood and treasure to defeat the Nazis and to destroy their ideology and to re-educate the Germans away from this ideology after the war, but that's who Mark Collette is. Going and debating him, and he's very, very friendly, for example, with David Duke in the US. In fact, I would put his ideological worldview on a similar par with David Duke, and I would put his honesty and also his financial honesty on the par with David Duke, if those of you know some of the accusations against Duke. So going and debating him, it's not something I ever had as a life goal, that's for sure. So I joined this call. There were a bunch of other Jews on it, an Indian chap actually, who was sort of advocating for white nationalism. But I'll just address what he said and what I countered and why it's important. Oh, and I've put the whole debate up on my 3Speak channel, 2 hours and 10 minutes. Knock yourselves out if you are inclined to watch it. The issue is that the Joseph of Israel Advocacy Network took it down. The comments were an absolute cesspool of proper Jew hatred, real nasty gas the Jews type stuff over and over and over again. That live comment stream, I'm happy that that's buried for sure. But I have no trouble with the actual video going back out. And of course, Mark Collette's followers captured it and have been reposting it all over the place. I'm not ashamed of my performance or what we said or what we did. Now, what did Mark come to the debate with? The crux of it is two things. One, why have you got Israel as an ethno state and we're not allowed such a thing? And his main evidence of Israel being an ethno state are that he doesn't even remotely understand what Judaism is and the broad sweep of the components that make up Judaism, it being much, much more than ethnicity. So he doesn't understand that. And secondly, his sources of information on Israel, the ones he picks to then relay, are always Haaretz and always far left writers in Haaretz who are actually trying to knock Israel. Like he brought, for example, they always bring this example from many years ago of a scandal, and it was a scandal in Israel when it was discovered that some Ethiopian Jews had been sterilized against their will. This is a terrible thing. I mean, I've got no trouble condemning it unreservedly. It's revolting. It's absolutely abhorrent to Judaism. It's abhorrent to the state of Israel. And it was. And it came, when it came out, everybody was horrified. And it isn't going on today. It's just not something we... But the point is the source of the information. The source of the information is Haaretz, which he calls Haaretz or something. That is interesting to me, because Haaretz is, of course, like further left, I would say, even than The Guardian in the UK. Haaretz is really anti-Zionist at this point. I mean, I call it evil without any... They have some writers there who really would like to see us just fold up, pack up a Jewish state and just hand it all over to the Palestinians and make another Muslim Arab state, and we would apparently live as happy little minorities again. Except that we never did, you know, and that's the point. That's the point of Israel, is that we've learned our lesson. Don't live as a minority, and don't live as a minority who do not control, especially in our own ancestral homelands. That's what we're not going to do again. Now, the left, which is Jewish left and the world left, would have us pack up because they, for some reason, want to see the supremacy of Islam and the supremacy of Arabs again here. We don't want that. And Mark Collett's views on Israel are shaped by ultra far left journals and newspapers who write the most terrible things about Mark Collett. In many cases, I believe some of them to be true, but the fact that he relies on those sources is very interesting. But at the root of everything is that he seems to be someone who has a very heavy socialist tendency. And the problem, as he sees it, with the socialism that he sees around him in Britain, is that he's not getting a fair share of the pie, or his white people. The second point that I tried to bring across in the debate conversation we had was this: I'm puzzled by the white identity. Why is skin tone a unifying identity across Europe? I am all for English identities and Welsh identities and Scottish identities and Polish identities and Hungarian identities. But the white European identity, with or without Jews in the mix, because you threw Jews out centuries ago of some of your countries, you were murdering each other forever. You've been fighting white European wars without the involvement of Jews, as far as I can tell, for a very long time. I don't understand your sudden desire for a unity of purpose across a white swath of Europe and North America. But, you know, that's your thing. That's the identity you've decided to cling to. I think when people cling to fake identities, as I believe the Palestinian identity is fake, or at least very, very recently invented, I don't think you wind up achieving your goals, because if you base your lives and your aspirations and your hopes and dreams on lies, it's really hard to sort of push those forward in a useful way. And the other lie, of course, that you base your worldview on is the lie that there is a Jewish conspiracy to take over the world. That these, what are we, 13 million today or something like that? I mean, we're getting close to the level of the population that we were at before the Holocaust, or we've got just gone past it. The fact that we Jews have a roadmap for conquering the world is a central core belief of Mark Collett and lots of people like him. I don't know how to prove to you that it's wrong. I don't know how to prove to you that there is no learned protocols of the Elders of Zion controlling my actions. I read some of the comments are funny, because they ascribe to me a level of Machiavellian mischief that I guess I would be not proud. I don't know how to achieve that. I don't know how to have such brilliantly extended goals that when I'm talking to Mark Collett on a YouTube chat at midnight in Israel and I'm a bit tired, I don't know how to believe that I am so clever that the words that I'm choosing are the exact words necessary to conquer and rule the world. I just don't know, because I'm not trying to conquer and rule the world, and I don't know anybody who is trying to conquer and rule the world. As far as I'm concerned, the sort of the goals of Zionism were the establishment of the state of Israel, and Zionism continues to be the ongoing safety and security of the Jews in Israel. You know, there isn't really a serious push to take Jordan, for example. I mean, it's a deserty place. We have a biblical connections to lots of it. But there's no real desire to take the country of Jordan and make it ours. Same with Syria or Lebanon. I mean, we had a chunk of Lebanon. We gave it back. We had a chunk of, well, it's disputed that it was even Egypt to begin with. But the Sinai Desert we handed to Egypt. It's not clear it was theirs, but we're really not doing well on the whole expansionist thing. Yes, we are now back on the land that we should never have left in the first place, which is Judea and Samaria. We're back on that land because the only reason we weren't in it in 1949 was because we just literally didn't have the manpower and the equipment to hold it against the Royal Jordanian Army, which was protected and trained by the British and armed by the British. We just didn't have the power. We lost Gush Etzion. People were massacred up there. We had to withdraw. And only in 1967 did we reclaim what really should have been Israel to begin with. But the idea, this idea of a greater Israel and that we'll conquer the Middle East to the Mesopotamia, I don't see it happening, and I don't see us taking huge steps towards it. Proxy wars, you know, that's the other stuff that these guys throw. You know, all the wars in the Middle East fought by the Americans were proxy wars for Israel. Well, no. Now, when we needed to bomb Oz-Iraq, which I recently found out and didn't realize this, but the bombing of the Oz-Iraq nuclear reactor in Iraq before it went, before it was commissioned properly, i.e. before it had all the nuclear stuff in it, so you could actually just bomb the shit out of it and nothing globally bad would happen. It was the same design as the Chernobyl reactor. And more than that, it was partly as a response to that bombing that they were paranoid in the Soviet Union that their nuclear reactors would be bombed. So, but anyway, we did that on our own. We took care of that, and we took care of a nuclear reactor in Syria a few years ago. The Americans have got their own goals. I mean, they went into Afghanistan, they went into Iraq. The first Gulf War resulted in Scuds being fired directly at my wife, for example. I mean, you know, she was hiding in bomb shelters and a building next to them got hit. I don't think Israel was clamoring for that war either. But, you know, these people do see the Jew everywhere. They see every left-wing cultural Marxist ideology that's ever been invented, apparently, is the result of Jews. Whether Jews were leading it or just, you know, functionaries in it, it's the Jew that was controlling it. This is just nonsense. There's also many Jews on the right, but they choose to ignore them. I mean, like, you know, Yoram Hazony has published the most amazing book on the virtue of nationalism. These guys are just blind to that. You can't call him a left-winger or a cultural Marxist. Israel fights its own internal battles with cultural Marxism and permissiveness and gay rights. And, you know, we have to set where the balance is for our own society. I'm not saying you shouldn't in the... Oh, pornography. Mark Collett is obsessed with Jews creating pornography to destroy the West. I don't, you know, I'm not a big expert on pornography, to be brutally honest. It takes two. Someone has to create the stuff and someone has to watch it. Yeah, I think our societies probably should be watching much less porn, and there should be less porn available. But somehow, I think it's a personal responsibility thing. This is Judaism. We should be teaching our children not to want to watch porn. That's the point. Raise your kids better. Raise your kids with God. I don't mean our God. I don't mean Judaism. It is still our God. I mean the Christian God. That's good enough. Christian values are very good for me. I like them. Don't like all the actions of the Christian church over the millennia. And that's the other thing is, you know, I look around Europe and I see that the Catholic Church is hugely into bringing more refugees into Europe. Is the Catholic Church really controlled by the Mossad? If it is, I'll be very surprised. But, you know, these people believe a lot of strange stuff. I don't know, Nazi moon bases. We had this long, at times very tedious debate. Mark Collett threw out all the usual anti-Semitic, and it is anti-Semitic. It's purely anti-Jewish, because he always describes Jews as you people. you Jews. He said it a dozen times. And that is missing the point. It's not like I'm going to throw all of 80% of American left-wing Jewry under the bus and say they're reprehensible. But I do often have huge problems with what they do and say. I think that they're leading civilization in a very bad direction. But this is a left-wing problem that's far, far bigger than Jews. Jews are a part of it. Just like Jews are a part of the right. Jews are a part of the counter-jihad. Jews, you know, Pamela Geller. I know so many fighters who have been fighting against jihad and against the conquest of Europe by Islam. Bahyaur, I mean, you know, unimpeachable work, Jewish. So as much as these guys want to see the Jew doing them down everywhere, they're just cherry picking to give themselves a scapegoat and to avoid looking at anything their own people have done and any self-personal responsibility. Jordan Peterson's good on this. You know, it's like, take responsibility for your own actions. If you sit there blaming the Jews all your life, you will amount to a guy on YouTube ranting and raving with 1,000 Nazis in your chats. That's what you'll do, and your videos will get 10 or 20 or 30,000 views, and they'll be allowed to remain on YouTube. They won't be monetized, perhaps. I mean, maybe you still are monetized. The point is that you can actually criticize Jews, and you can criticize Israel. You don't actually get deplatformed or thrown off unless you actually call for direct violence, or you do evoke subjects that are just so awful. I mean, I've railed, for example, you know, I railed against Mark Meacham, who I do not believe is a Nazi, and I had a very nice chat with him. I railed against Count Dankula being persecuted for his joke with the saluting dog. That was ridiculous. But this spreading of lies, specifically lying, taking once again this Protocols of the Elders of Zion, which was this Tsarist forgery, which was at the core of Hitler's hatred of Jews, and it's sort of all the themes of it are all through Mein Kampf. Taking that, which is what these people are doing, they've called it culture of critique, they've got a book, they've got heroes, they've got David Duke, Mark Collett. Taking that and spreading that again, yeah, people do see that as dangerous. I personally take a much broader view of speech. I'd rather know who is saying this than have them hidden and underground. Mark Collett is at least out in the open on this, but he is a slimy, sneaky, lying toad who will bring up and lie constantly to make his points. I don't believe I lie. I avoid lies. I am not... How can I say? I don't know how to have an extended goal of taking over and ruling the world. I just don't know how to have that, because there's no text that I have. There's nothing I can call back on. There's no Talmud that I've ever read or want to read that says Jews should conquer and rule the world for Judaism. We just don't have that. We don't have any equivalent of Muhammad's farewell address. I have been ordered to fight all men until they say there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. We don't have that anywhere in the Talmud. We have a whole load of archaic debates about how you should treat witnesses in capital trials and all sorts of things. Wow, that was long. Those are my extended thoughts on what it was like staying up until 1 o'clock in the morning debating with Mark Collett and the sort of the real alt-right and the real far-right. And this, oh, just one tiny little point. When people on my side, Jews, for example, conflate someone like Tommy Robinson, who is just totally disgusted by everything Mark Collett is doing and saying. I know this, I'm disgusted with him, and Tommy's actually had a conviction for punching a Nazi. To conflate him and a guy like Mark Collett, it's just evil and wrong. And that happens all the time on the left and on the Jewish center and center left. And you're just wrong. You're not paying attention to what people are actually saying. I actually listened to what Mark Collett is saying. I do not dismiss it without listening, because you have to listen to understand. And I'm trying to figure out if he's leading a huge army. I don't believe he is. I don't think that those viewpoints have institutional power, not even across Europe. Orban doesn't say these things. Listen to his speeches. Salvini is not interested in this kind of stuff. The AfD largely are not. I'm sure some of their members are, unfortunately. And I'm sure some of the members of these new right parties are bad. But and Marine Le Pen as well. I've heard, I don't hear her going on about Jewish conspiracies the way her father did. I think she's a very different person to that. This is a nuance that our side and the pro-Israel side refuses to see on the large part. That makes me a bit of an outlier. And that's why I was on a chat with Mark Collett. Well, once again, I am Brian of London, talking on 3Speak. This will go up on 3Speak, eventually YouTube, and it'll also be on my podcast, which you can find all of this at brianoflondon.me. And that's the place to go if you want to chip in and help me out with some expenses. Thanks very much, and see you the next time. Bye-bye.